I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, Wim Liu. This episode, along with every episode this season, is sponsored by KFC. So I'm recapping the Toronto Raptors 122-118 win over the Washington Wizards. And, you know, this is the first game of the Raptors being super, super shorthanded. No Pascal, no Marc Gasol. No Norman Powell. Norm was on the sideline, at least, with a bright neon turtleneck underneath a very nice suit, I got to say. And, you know, I did not catch a sight of Gasol or Pascal. But, yeah, and they were playing a Wizards team that, you know, don't play a lot of defense, I got to say. Although, for a bit in the fourth quarter there, they did make it tough in terms of their defense. But, you know, the Raptors led pretty much from start to finish, and yet it came down to a very dicey finish because, like, I don't know, man. Have you ever watched the Raptors-Wizards game? Like, they're always like this. It's always really stressful. The Wizards do not ever make it easy for the Raptors. Even when the Raptors won 59 games, a franchise record, and went into a 1-8 matchup against Washington with home court advantage, obviously, the Raptors still had to take that series in six games. The Wizards are a tough team. They've always been a really tough team for the Raptors to play against. And they're a tough team especially because they got a guy named Bradley Beal who, can we finally get Bradley Beal eventually? Please? Please? Just so we don't want to play him again? Because that man is just, holy, he's an all-time Raptor killer, Bradley Beal. He had 37 points tonight. So much for the Raptors shutting down superstars. That does not apply when it comes to Bradley Beal. And honestly, it doesn't even apply to a guy like Ish Smith who, you know, an all-time Raptor killer. I guess I'll talk to about Ish Smith in a second. But as for the game itself, the Raptors raced out to a massive lead. The Raptors led 40-23 after the first quarter. And honestly, it was just one of those games where the Washington Wizards just didn't play defense, which is, you know, pretty much every game for this team. They don't really play cohesively. Never really made an effort to stop the Raptors. And honestly, if you look at the efficiency for the Raptors scoring-wise, from quarter to quarter, it was pretty good through three quarters. It's just in that fourth quarter where the Raptors started hitting a couple of possessions where they got stuck in the mud. They played some pretty bad lineups, which is expected with so many injuries to the lineup. And the Wizards kind of made a couple of shots, and they made a push. But it was, you know, again, it was a tough game, but also it was a game where the Raptors led by double digits for pretty much the entire game. You know, you got a couple of positive performances tonight. So, first off, Fred VanVleet returned from injury. And, you know, he wasn't at his best, which is what you would expect for a guy coming off his injury. What I saw from Fred today was a little bit of rust. There were a couple of shots that he missed that were definitely makeable. Especially on layups and stuff like that. You know, he was getting to the rim well, which is a positive. Really, it was a positive. You know, Fred VanVleet earned the game. Like, one of the first couple of times he had the ball, saw Davis Bertans on him, crossed him up real quick, hit him with a 1-2, and then got to the rim, and then left the layup short. And it was just kind of that night for kind of Fred. But, you know, this is the point where Fred has gotten to, where even though he struggles, even though the shot isn't as falling as it normally would for him, even though he's come back from injury after missing five games with a, you know, a knee issue, the man gives you 18-9-8 in his first return. And that was in 34 minutes as well. So, you know, I thought Fred was doing the right things. He clearly has not obviously forgotten how to play basketball. And he still has the quickness and the burst and the strength to get to the basket. And so on that front, I feel very reassured. I mean, yeah, the shooting percentage could be a lot better than 6 of 18. But for a guy coming off of injury, remember when Kyle Lowry came back of injury against the Heat, the first game he shot like 2 of 18. So in retrospect, 6 of 18 is not as bad, although obviously the Wizards are way, way worse defense than the Miami Heat. But, you know, I thought it was a positive. I thought Fred was a positive presence. I thought another guy that did really well tonight was Serge Ibaka, especially in the first three quarters. I got to say, Serge was not really present for the fourth quarter. Didn't really have the same impact. But especially early in the game, one of the biggest reasons why the Raptors got up to that 40-23 lead in the first quarter was because Serge Ibaka was affecting every single shot around the basket. The Raptors were doing a really good job. They had Serge basically, just corral the paint while the Raptors played sort of a semi kind of double team zone kind of thing against Beal on the perimeter. At least early in the game, Beal wasn't hurting them as much because the Raptors would, put pressure on him. And then when Beal came off a high screen or whatever, a third defender would come over, help over from the wing and rotate, and just to sort of dissuade Beal from shooting the ball. And whenever the ball did get inside, Serge Ibaka would be able to recover inside and protect the paint. And, Serge was doing a great job with that. And also Serge is doing a great job of finishing. I mean, you look at it tonight, incredible efficiency from Serge Ibaka, who had 23 points on 7 of 10 shooting with 2 of 3 from deep, 7 of 10 from the free throw line as well. Just a really, really nice night from him. The two turnovers are there, whatever that happens. Serge has, those moments in the game, every game where a pass is very catchable and he misses it and fumbles it. What happened? Whatever. It happens. Serge, let's be real, he doesn't have the best hands. But efficiency-wise, I thought it was good. It was really promising to me that Serge and Kyle Lowry had a nice rhythm going. That's obviously really key to the offense, even with everyone healthy, but especially with Pascal out of the lineup and Mark out of the lineup. The Raptors need more structure in the team, and they need someone to consistently deliver offense. And honestly, that guy is probably Serge Ibaka, which I'm not saying Serge can do this against the toughest defenses in the league. A lot of players have scored, 20 points against the Wizards this year. But nevertheless, Serge is a capable scorer. He went through a bit of a funk, obviously had that injury, and since coming back from it, he's been real slow and not as effective. But especially when he plays with Kyle Lowry, this has been true for, a couple years now in a row. When Serge plays with Kyle Lowry, Kyle is such a good playmaker. He's going to find Serge. I counted at least 4 possessions where Kyle found Serge. 2 of them were 3-pointers as well. And Serge is just a nice rhythm. He's rolling. He played well against the Pistons. He played well the night before that against Brooklyn as well. And, and against Cleveland as well. And sometimes you just need to play a couple of these garbage teams to really get your rhythm, get your flow, get your confidence back. And I think, honestly, Serge is very much back in that rhythm where he's confident. He's going off for every shot. There's not as much hesitation. The timing is good. It's sort of bang, bang. The pass is arriving to Serge right as he's getting to the spot. His knees are already dipped, and he's going right up, and he's making the shot every time. He was great there. I loved his activity around the basket as well, defensively, but also offensively, just being around the rim as in that dunker spot, finishing a lot of plays. I thought Serge was really good tonight. And honestly, there's kind of good performances up and down the roster when you look at it, right? Like Rondé, he did a really nice shift off the bench. Now, the bench as a whole was not very good. I got to say, Chris Boucher did very little. Terrence Davis, even though he had 8 points, did very little. And Malcolm Miller was invisible. Like what people say Pat McCauley is, that's what Malcolm Miller is, minus the defense. I just didn't see what was going on with him. He played 14 minutes, did not notice in one possession. And it was actually up to Rondé, really, to be the focal point on the bench. Now, I got to say, Rondé individually was successful. He had 14 points in 19 minutes, 4 of 8 shooting from the field. He hit a 3, which is quite nice. He got to the free throw line 6 times, a couple times on that little turnaround jumper, which always seems to be so herky-jerky that it kind of lulls the defender into fouling him. A little bit of that DeMar kind of quality to it. But, Rondé was successful individually, and he also had 4 assists as well. But, at the same time, it was kind of a situation where the Raptors, especially that bench, with those guys out, Mark, Norm, Pascal, it's Kyle Lowry out there with some of these guys, and man, it is tough. It is tough to see how they're going to score. It really is. You cannot be featuring Rondé Hollis-Jefferson against a serious team and winning a lot of games like that. It's just not sustainable. Having said that, though, Rondé was very successful in his shots and in his role, and he did well tonight, which is nice to see. I mean, Rondé, you've sort of been in and out of the doghouse a little bit, after he shot those 2 threes against Brooklyn against his old team. Nick Nurse benched him for the second half, didn't really feature much in the Cleveland game, and then all of a sudden, these injuries happen, opportunities come back out, and Rondé's stepping up again. So I'm happy to see what Rondé did. And quite honestly, if the guys like Terrence Davis and Malcolm Miller and Chris Boucher can match what Rondé did tonight, then, the game wouldn't have honestly come down to the last quarter there. The Raptors could have just extended leads with their bench, or at least maintain leads, because tonight, for example, the Raptors' momentum of the first quarter completely stopped when the bench went in. Guys couldn't really score. And then in the fourth quarter, those guys were so bad offensively that it allowed the Wizards to get back into the game, cut it under 10, cut it under 8, cut it under 6 points, and force the starters to come back in. But, again, not Rondé's fault. Rondé was pretty good. You know, I liked what I saw from McCaw, who got into the starting lineup. So that one kind of surprised me a little bit. I thought Nick, especially with Ibaka at center and having Lowry and VanVleet in the backcourt, that's kind of small. You're kind of small at the center position, and you're definitely a little bit small in the guards. You might want to go a little bit larger with Rondae Hollis-Jefferson in that lineup, or maybe even Boucher playing four alongside Ibaka. I kind of like that idea. I want to see more of it. But no, Nurse went with McCaw, which I think makes sense. Against like a team like the Wizards, they play so small anyway, and you needed someone to guard Brad Beal, and you don't want Fred doing that first game when he comes back, and you don't want Kyle doing that because, you know, Kyle's a little old for that, to be honest. So you want McCaw doing it, and so he got the start. I'm not sure he's going to permanently be in the starting lineup, but he didn't do enough bad things today that really would warrant it. I know a lot of people aren't really fans of McCaw. I'm confused by McCaw personally. I understand. I see the appeal. I understand what he does, but also at the same time, I also see a lot of games where he's just kind of floating in and out. And Nick actually admitted that pregame. Someone asked him, like, "Hey, man, why do you love McCaw so much?" And he was like, "You know, honestly, like, sometimes I play him. He's very impactful in short spurts, but then he disappears." And he mentioned how in the last couple of games where he's played McCaw extended minutes, you know, McCaw has sort of not been there with the same kind of efficiency and the same kind of effectiveness over extended minutes. But tonight, McCaw was good. I thought he was good. I mean, 34 more minutes, 11 points, 4 of 8 shooting from the field. The fact that he even shot 8 shots in 34 minutes is pretty good. McCaw, honestly, offensively, he kind of is like that Marcus Gasol type. You know what I mean? Like, unselfish. Definitely wants to, you know, play make, get out of the way and stuff like that. You know, it's not as good to see that from a shooting guard rather than a center. A center, you can kind of have him facilitate. A shooting guard just, you know, not being involved in the offense is a little bit more detrimental. But, yeah, McCall was good, man. He was good in his role. He was real solid. I mean, he was assigned to guard Bradley Beal, and the 37 points is a bad reflection of McCall on paper. But when I watched the game and sort of how it was kind of unfolded, like, A, Bradley Beal's a superstar, man. He's just going to get his points against anybody. I can't wait till he's a Raptor. Please make it happen, Masai. Like, I would love to get Bradley Beal, even just for the fact that I don't want to play him anymore. But, you know, Bradley Beal's making some tough, tough shots. But it's not like McCaw was losing him and Beal was getting open or anything like that. It just wasn't like that. I thought McCaw actually executed the game plan pretty well for the most part. You know, what you guys should do really is give credit to the Wizards. You know, I mean, I don't want to praise Scott Brooks too much as a coach because he's not that great. But Brooks, I mean, he at least identified the fact that, A, he was starting Isaac Bunga, who's doing nothing. Also got a really old face for someone who's 20 years old. Look it up, Isaac Bunga's face. It's I can't believe he's only 20, and a very young 20 at that. He just turned 20 a month ago. And also he was starting Yama Himni, who's just waste, honestly. He's a waste, man, and he just kept hard fouling OG, and I really disliked him. But he took those guys out of the starting lineup, and you know, he rolled more with guys like Troy Brown and also Admiral Schofield, which is somehow a person that exists in the NBA, not a creative player, but and it sort of spaced out the floor so the Raptors couldn't help as much, give McCaw as much help. And also the Raptors' big men kind of really dropped a lot, like, against Beal. And also Beal really got going against the Raptors' bench, which was, you know, largely while he was getting guarded by, like, Malcolm Miller or Terrence Davis or whoever. So I don't actually put all that on McCaw. In fact, I actually kind of like McCaw in terms of the sense that in the fourth quarter, the ball swung to him in a big, big spot, and he had the willingness to step up, raise up, and shoot the three and hit the three. That was the only three he made all night, but still. I mean, ultimately, from the fifth option, if you get 11 points on 50% shooting, that's not bad. And, you know, McCaw, even two times, he picked off Beal. He had three steals on the night. Thought McCaw was okay. I think, honestly, this starting lineup is a little too small to against most teams because you're almost undersized at every position. Like, Ibaka's a little small for five. OG's a little small for four. McCaw is definitely small for a three. Fred is a little bit small for a two. And Kyle is, you know, a plus-size man, but still. He's okay at point guard, but still, that's overall a small starting lineup. We'll see if Nurse adjusts it game to game, depending on the situation. But at least for tonight, for example, I thought McCaw was okay in his role on it. I don't really have much complaints. You know, did I talk about Kyle? Kyle was good. Kyle was really steady from start to finish. He had to carry the bench, a lot of it to make it work with some of these guys. You know, he had 9 assists. Hit a big three in the fourth quarter. He hit also drew 2 shooting fouls in the fourth quarter. So he had 7 points in the fourth quarter. Gave the Raptors just enough to get them over the hump. The pull-up three when the Wizards dropped back on him late in the game, it really swung the momentum of the game because the Wizards were about to sort of finally get over the top and take the lead, but the Raptors, and then Kyle hits that three and could have keeps them at bay. I thought the Raptors were very smart in terms of how they used Kyle in terms of offensively in crunch time. Obviously, without Pascal, it really fell to Kyle to like create over and over and over again in crunch time. And really, it was a pretty smart play because like all the Raptors did was say like, "Hey, there's a guy on, there's a little child on the floor whose name is Isaiah Thomas. He's 5'2". Like, let's go over there and attack that guy." So the Raptors would consistently get Pat McCaw to come over and screen. And this is where, you know, you got to give McCaw a lot of credit too, because a lot of times guards come set screens and they're not good at screening. They don't get contact. They don't angle the screen right. And then they don't flare out the right way. And so it ends up being a double team, a trap, or even sometimes someone just able to navigate the screen and there's no advantage created. There's no mismatch created. McCaw did a really good job of screening for Kyle so that each time he was able to introduce Isaiah Thomas onto Kyle Lowry. Now, I'm not trying to gas the man too much for screening, but still, some of these small details really do matter. And McCaw was able to successfully execute. Isaiah was on Kyle. Whenever that happened, Kyle was able to go inside, score, bully Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas did get a strip on it one time. Maybe it was a foul. I couldn't really see. But for the most part, Kyle versus Isaiah Thomas was a pretty good strategy for closing out the game in crunch time. And so I thought Kyle really stepped up. He made some nice plays there. And, you know, 26 points, 9 rebounds from a guy who was in the Nutcracker last night. I mean, we stand a versatile king. And then I guess the last guy I really want to praise is OG, who, I mean, you just got to salute this man because, yo, this guy got hit in the face so many times. Like, come on, man. Like, the Raptors just lost 3 starters. And now the Wizards basically put out a hit on OG. I mean, the amount of times this scrub, Yamahimni, kept hitting OG in the face. Like, you know, it was infuriating. It really was. Like, OG had his nose split open twice. They had to call 2 30-second officials timeouts just to get OG to stop bleeding. And, you know, every time they checked him, you know, the Raptors training staff will come over and it was like, yo, OG, are you good to stay in the game? Like, because he got hit hard multiple times. But I'll give OG credit because he had a lot of heart because he kept going to the basket. He attacked relentlessly. He kept going back to the rim. And he got what he needed to in a night like this where the Raptors needed more scoring. They need more scoring from everybody because they're missing Norm Powell, who was giving them pretty much 20 a game, and Pascal, who's been giving them 25 a game, and Mark, who's giving them, honestly, these days, like close to 15. So that's a lot of scoring that they're missing from the lineup. So they need everyone else to step up with scoring, and OG really did that. Again, a bad team like the Wizards, defensively, they don't do shit. Like, okay, fine. You can get a couple of points, but still, OG 18 points tonight. Went to the rim a lot. I got to the free throw line a lot. And honestly, there was one point in the fourth quarter where after OG got his nose split open the second time, the man had blood gushing from his nose into his mouth, which sounds disgusting. But still, the guy, this is after the timeout when they tried to clean him up. The blood just won't stop flowing. OG had blood flowing into his mouth, and he still hit a free throw. So salute OG. Great play. Defensively was definitely there, active, didn't have any steals or blocks, but that's kind of a deceptive stat because whoever he was guarding was for the most part neutralized. You know, whether that was Beal or Ish Smith or whatever, I wish there was multiple OGs to guard most of those guys because those guys were giving the Raptors huge headaches. And also OG, for the most part, defended Isaiah Thomas as well in the fourth quarter. Isaiah didn't really do that much. But yeah, just salute OG, man. Just a really tough dude. And, you know, went up strong and finished. And honestly, you know, the Raptors are going to need his scoring. So whatever he wants to do offensively, not saying he could take, you know, he has an ultimate green light to, you know, do some, you know, wild shit or whatever, but just if he has more of an emphasis to go to the basket, to go score, to shoot threes or whatever, that's welcomed. The Raptors need everybody to step up on offense with these guys out. And OG is someone that we know has these bursts where he scores. And he has little flashes in his game that kind of suggest maybe there's more. Well, if there is more, this is the time to show it, all right? Today, he did it against the Wizards. Hopefully, he does it on Sunday against Dallas, on Monday, on my birthday against the Indiana Pacers. Hopefully, you do it there. And on Christmas, when, you know, people are going to have to come watch, you know, Pat McCaw start on national television, I hope OG brings it then, too. So, I liked what OG brought today. And ultimately, you know, I just liked the effort from the team as a whole. Here's the thing, man. Even though with all these injuries and the Raptors are down significantly, they're missing so many pieces from the lineup, it's not a surprise if they would lose in a game like this. But A, you know, they have so much internal structure. They know how to play defense. They have an identity. They know how to win games. That's going to carry them through a lot of things. I know that sounds like an intangible quality, but it really is like an institutional knowledge. Like, if you know what you're doing in life, that's going to help you a lot. And the Raptors know what they're doing from a possession-possession basis. And then B, there's still enough talent on the team for them to still do some things. Like, even you look at it today, the Wizards are also banged up, but still, look at the guys they're starting tonight. Isaac Bonga and Yam Mahimni, a broken Isaiah Thomas, Brad Beal's amazing, of course, no slander. Davis Bertans supposed to be some kind of incredible shooter. People told me it was Steph Curry. Honestly, he looked like Steph Curry's pictures. Like, you know, did not look good tonight. And then they got guys like Anzis Pasechnik coming off the bench, which is what the Raptors actually, the pick the Raptors traded along with Terrence Ross against Serge Ibaka. That's turned out to be a pretty good deal. I don't think Pasechnik is going to have a long career in the NBA. You know, this guy, Grant Matthews or whatever his name is, got an NFL-sounding name for sure. Oh, Garrison Matthews. Yeah, that's definitely a wideout. Yeah, for the Green Bay Packers. Admiral Schofield, who, you know, will definitely serve in the Army at some point, or, you know, if he hasn't already. Like, look at these guys, man. Like, I know they're dealing with injuries too, whatever, but still, like, the Raptors have enough talent to compete against most of the bad teams in the NBA. And that's why the Raptors now, what, 16-0 against teams under 500 this year, the losing teams. There's so many losing teams in the NBA, and they're so bad. The Raptors, even with this severely, severely shorthanded roster, should still be able to win, and they showed it tonight. So I like the effort that they had tonight. And, you know, just before I get to three stars, I definitely want to get to the KFC bucket of the game. And, man, the bucket of the game tonight, I think it's pretty obvious. Off an inbound play, there's a bit of a screw-up by the Wizards, but in the fourth quarter, it's an inbound play on the Raptors inbounding on the sideline. Fred VanVleet popped free. The pass was thrown to him. It was a leading pass. Fred caught up to it and completed an alley-oop. Now, I'm not saying he dunked the ball, because he didn't. He laid it in, but he caught the pass while jumping and finished the layup. And that, honestly, to me, is still an alley-oop. So, Fred VanVleet, congratulations on the KFC bucket of the game. Congratulations on an alley-oop. That was quite a nice play. And again, the Wizards' defense, just nowhere to be found. But, it's nice to see you. Not every day you're going to see a Fred VanVleet alley-oop. So, in terms of your three stars from tonight, the first star, giving that to Kyle Lowry, 26 points, 4 rebounds, 9 assists, a steal, 41 minutes. He had to do all the difficult things for the Raptors, right? And he did enough of everything. 7 of 14 from the field is good. 3 of 7 from the field, from the three-point line is good. 9 of 11 from the free throw line is great. He got an and-one to go. He got a couple of cheap fouls here and there. Just really kept the Raptors' offense humming. He had to do the tough things in terms of closing out the game. He had that big pull-up three, which I don't think the Raptors win that game without that pull-up three. I thought Kyle Lowry did the best job he could possibly with that, you know, very, very truncated bench. And he's going to continue to have to doing that because, honestly, man, it's just they're shorthanded. But Kyle was really good tonight, and he carried a huge load. So congratulations to Kyle. The second star, I'm giving that to Serge Ibaka, 23 points, 10 rebounds, an assist, 3 blocks, 7 of 10 shooting from the field, 2 of 3 from deep, 7 of 10 from the free throw line in 36 minutes. Serge is capable in extended minutes. We know he's good in the starting lineup. We've seen him do it. It's a very, very different version of what Marc Gasol gives the team. Defensively, he's not as solid, but Ibaka also is able to affect a lot of shots around the rim, just like Gasol is, and he's also able to just provide a lot of scoring. And especially with Pascal, they're going to need a lot from Serge Ibaka in terms of the scoring. And then the third star, there's a case for VanVleet to get it. There's honestly a little bit of a case for McCaw to get it, but I'm going to give it to OG. Just got to salute the toughness, man. 18 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 6 of 11 from the field, 2 of 5 from deep, 4 of 6 on the free throw line. Listen, if you're hitting a bloody free throw, I'm giving you a star. I don't care what happens, man. OG, man, you got to really love the effort from him. Fearless, never backed down, you know, played great defense. And, yeah, you know, again, we hope to see more and more of this from OG. Sorry for the bang in the background. They're disassembling this arena. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award for tonight, you know, that's pretty freaking obvious who that is. Ish Smith. Yo, I hate playing Ish Smith. There's a real case, especially now that Gerald Henderson is no longer in the NBA, that it should just be called the Ish Smith Award. This guy, every single time he plays the Raptors, I'm talking about back when he was with the Pelicans, back when he was a Sixer, you know, back when he was a Piston, he bounced around, he was a journeyman, whatever, and now he's on the Wizards for some reason. He has just killed the Raptors time after time. He's too quick, he's very crafty, and I don't know what it is about him, but when he plays the Raptors, he turns into this, like, you know, honestly, like a an Allen Iverson clone. Like, what is going on? 26 points tonight, 9 of 9 from the field, including 4-4 from the three-point line, 4-4 from the free throw line. That's one of the only perfect games ever from a guard, especially a guard who's not even 6 feet tall, or maybe 6 feet. I don't really know. It's a generous 6 feet. But, yeah, Ish Smith was just insanely good tonight, man. 26 points. He never missed a single shot. And the thing is, the three-pointer is the one that kills me, because I've seen Ish Smith kill the Raptors with mid-range shots, whatever. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. He's a little bit too quick for Kyle to guard. And honestly, the Raptors' longer defenders are a little bit too slow for him. But, you know, like, I've seen the mid-range shots. It's the three-point shots that kill me tonight, because this man is a career 31% three-point shooter. He looks real awkward when he shoots three. And I'm not going to say the Raptors were guarding him heavily on these threes. You know, obviously the game plan calls. When you scout the guy like that, you know he's not going to shoot that much from the three-point line. You want to play him to drive, give him a little bit of space. He's quick. This man was hitting 4 of 4 from three, especially in the fourth quarter, too. And it killed me, man. This guy has just always been a Raptor killer. And it really is an all-time Gerald Henderson Award guy, really, honestly. I really want to rename it the Ish Smith Award, because he is insanely good at just killing the Raptors in particular. Just look it up. I hate playing this dude. I really hate seeing him. In terms of the Pat Patterson Award, this one's very fitting, because one of the things with Pat that drew him infamy, besides his recent comments, is that, you know, when the Raptors would need a key three, and the ball would be swung to Patrick Patterson, and his man would usually help off of him, Pat would shoot the three, then Matt Devlin will say, "We need this," and, you know, the three wouldn't go in. And I gotta say, if you're a Wizards fan, you were probably looking at Davis Bertans like, "Yo, we need this," and he got a couple of open threes and towards the end where the Raptors did break down defensively a little bit when they were overloading on Beal, overloading on Ish Smith, as ridiculous as that sounds, and Bertans was open, and he missed those threes, and that if that's not Pat Patterson worthy, I don't know what is. But tonight he shot 3 of 15 from the field, 2 of 12 from 3, for just 10 points on the night. Comical, really. Defensively, getting torched, bad turnovers, just slipping and dropping the ball out of bounds and stuff. Bad, bad night for Davis Bertans, who played 38 minutes. But yeah, I mean, and, you know, it's just, you know, okay, towards the end, he did miss a couple open shots. But honestly, early in the game, I thought the Raptors just did a really good job defending him. Kyle Lowry, again, doing the hard thing, because he had to guard a guy who's 6'9 in Davis Bertans. Man's very tall, maybe even 6'10. But Kyle obviously is only 6 feet tall, but he pressured him, gave him no space, made it difficult from the launch and shoot. When he did shoot, he had him contested. He was under him, over him, everything like that. And Bertans had a tough night. And it just goes to show, some players are good shooters and they have great stats or whatever, and then when they run up against a really good defense like the Raptors, it's just not there for them. And I've seen it time and time again this season. So, you know, it is what it is. But congratulations to Bertans. He's having a nice year. He really is. So that does it for the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I'll be back on Sunday when the Raptors play the Dallas Mavericks. If you haven't already, go check out the Raptors Over Everything live call-in show. It airs live on the Yahoo Sports Canada YouTube page every Friday between 3:30 p.m. and 4:30 p.m. with me and my buddy Josh Hart. And we take calls on the Raptors. And if you wanted to be on this podcast and give your thoughts and give your hot take, or, you know, just, I don't know, man, just whatever, bring some levity and joy to Raptor fans, call into the show. It comes out every Friday. Next Friday, because of the holidays, I'm out, but we'll be back the Friday after that. This past episode was really good that we just recorded on Friday. Someone actually asked me about Bertans and what an over-under of whether he would hit 6 threes tonight, and I said he would hit 2, and lo and behold, he hit 2. But, yeah, go listen to the show. It's you know, not, I don't like to gas my own stuff up that much, but I really do love the engagement that it's drawn with Raptors fans. I think it's really caught on. You can watch it on the Raptors. You can watch it on the Yahoo Sports Canada YouTube page. It's archived there. It's streamed live there, and you can also find the audio version of the podcast in the podcast feed. So check that out. Check out Sunday's podcast, where I'll be recapping the game against the Mavericks. Luka Doncic is out for that one, so the Raptors have, you know, have a good chance. Although they've had some pretty good results even without Doncic. They beat the Bucks, for example. But yeah, you know, if it's at home with the Raptors, I think it's a winnable game. So we'll see what happens. But thanks, everyone, for listening. Big thanks to KFC for sponsoring the podcast. And I'll be back on Sunday.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com, code program.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.